Today I thought this topic of prayer and worship, and I thought it would be profitable for us to have more of a discussion time today on this than I am going to walk through a few things with us, some reminders of where we've been again. We're, as you can see, I'm a big fan of repetition. It is definitely the key to learning, just like memorizing scripture. You can't just read it, say it a few times, and think that it sticks. No matter how young your brain is, it's repetition. And it is the key to having that knowledge, that understanding, whatever it is that you're putting into your little brain pocket there, it is important to continue to remind us of where we've been and where we're going. And so as we have looked at this book collectively so far, we have gone through the first five chapters, and I'm sure that all of you have noticed the building block that we are establishing here in this book. Disciplines of a Godly Woman started out with the first chapter being on discipline and where we were going, the foundation that is being brought throughout this book, that everything that we do in our Christian life is a discipline that has to be cultivated. And the pursuit of this discipline in our life for pursuing Christ-like behavior, attitude, reflection of Christ in our life. And it's important that we understand that. And so she lays the foundation here in this book of that discipline begins with the priority of God's word. These are elementary principles that, again, are so important to remind ourselves. It's the simple things, ladies, that it's not these big $5 theology words. It's just the basics that we forget about quite often. And so understanding that the discipline that we are building our life on is through God's word. That's where we find what he expects, when he expects it, what it looks like in our life. So the first chapter was on discipline, and in that chapter we gained an understanding that godliness requires us training against sin. So it's very visual if you think about it. It's like going to the gym. You can't go to the gym, sit down at a bench and pick up some weights and do a couple of weights and look at your arms and go, I'm there, man. You know,
exactly.
It takes repetition, that discipline in our life, day in, day out. And what is the discipline that we have to begin with? Eradicating sin in our life, training ourselves against sin. So how do we go about that? Knowing God's word, studying God's word, memorizing God's word. We don't know God if we don't know God. So we cannot expect to know what he expects of us if we're not spending time in his word, reading it, studying it, which is different, those two things. It's like listening and hearing. I can hear a bunch of stuff going on in the room, you know, pages turning, you know, someone laughing, someone talking, you know, having a conversation over on the side or whatever. That's hearing, but listening takes action. Listening is intent, participation. And so, so reading is being familiar with things, right? We read the scriptures hopefully regularly, and that gives us a familiarity of His Word, and not only a familiarity of where it's located in the Bible, but the brick upon brick of what God's whole counsel is. So we read His Word, and studying His Word. Now that is the taking time to actually understand implication, application. So what is the scripture saying here? What does this mean? You know, what is the implication here that is, that Paul is driving? And then how do I apply that? I always say in my life, what is, and in my mind of, in teaching is what does that look like with feet on it? That's where I go to in my illustration of it. What, if I'm to apply this, what does that look like with feet on it in my life? So how will I know what He expects? How will I know what it looks like? How will I know, how am I supposed to respond? All of these are through reading, studying, and then memorizing. You know, when we memorize scripture, we are, as the little saying goes, hiding God's word in our heart, right? And I always say, what goes in the well comes up in the bucket. So when you are putting scripture memory in there, that isn't lost. Even if you can't remember every single word, I memorized 30 years ago, Psalm 1. And I still know that Psalm. We dusted it off this year, in Semwise, and it was one of the things that we had to memorize. And it is such, it's rooted in my mind and in my heart, and it's where I camp in. If there's nothing in the bucket, when the trials and difficulties of life come along, you're definitely not going to be stable in them because you have nothing to anchor yourself in, right? So we were reminded that it's small, faithful steps, and that consistency matters more than intensity. You know, we can go into the gym again and just be, you know, I'm going to put, you know, 100 pounds on there, and you know, instead of just being consistent with 10 pounds over and over and over again. And the results definitely are long term too. You're going to burn out fast if you're trying to do so many things at once, or you just can't get out of the way of yourself because it's just not going to happen. So consistency is so important. And then we are consistent with those habits, and they build spiritual disciplines. And we need to remember that we're not in this race of comparison, because we're all in different seasons of our life. So we're comparing myself to someone else is just, you know, you're going to be in defeat for sure, right out of the blocks. But we're all running the race together, so we should be encouraging one another, walking alongside, exhorting one another. We were reminded also that I loved the idea of that it's soul training. You know, I'm training my soul. This is something that we do the work of the discipline, and God does the transformation because of our obedience. And I love that as we are faithful to submitting ourselves in obedience to what He has called us to, the results of that are just so encouraging, and they're a beautiful thing. And I look at it and I know it's all God, because I know how ugly I am, and I know where I would be if it wasn't for Jesus Christ in my life. And it also gives me reassurance of my salvation. And so we entered into the gospel, and understanding what the gospel was and this foundation that was being continually hardened, which was giving us this stable foundation, that discipline comes from our true understanding of who Jesus Christ is, the work that he has done for us, that we bring nothing to the table except for sin, and that we went into the gospel chapter 2 and submission chapter 3. And I think we got a better understanding, and I would like to hear any feedback on that, of what biblical submission looked like. Because it wasn't just the topic of women, but it was about us submitting our will to God's will. And if there's any hanging questions or any whatever, this today is that time to bring those up in our discussion. And so I kind of want this to be a little fluid with our time together today. I put together a motto that I said, we are to train hard, be faithful, remain consistent, day by day growing more Christ-like is the goal of my life. And that is my takeaway or my motto that I am trying to really hang my hat on right now in this disciplines of a godly woman, the lenses that I want to wear as I am trying to implement what it is that God is teaching me through this book, that I want to train hard, that I want to be faithful, remain consistent, and reminding myself that it's day by day growing more Christ-like is the goal of my life. So these are just some of the fundamental principles that we have gone over, and they have helped us to in our journey as we grow daily in our Christian walk. Some helpful principles of what discipline looks like and what it requires. And of course, none of this in this book that she has written or anything that I bring in our time together is exhaustive. You know, there's so much more that we could unearth, but it's a start. And it's a start to help encourage us to want to be more, like I said, more Christ-like, but it's also a start for us to help evaluate ourselves and to ask the hard questions, because there's no victory in pride, and it's only going to hold us back from being able to truly have a life in Christ that is anchored in joy and peace. And our relationship with Christ should be that personal relationship that we have is the joy that we, in knowing and understanding the peace of faithfully seeing his hand in our life and trusting in the work that he is doing, even sometimes when it's painful and it's not enjoyable, I'm still anchored in my relationship of joy in Christ. So we move on today into prayer and worship. And so the beginning of this chapter, what is prayer, is the question that I asked. And prayer is the source of power of my growth in my relationship with Christ. It is vital. It's a discipline that we need to grow in our relationship with God. And I think too often, myself included, that prayer is something that we add to our life. It's something that's attached to what I do in my Christian life. And I wouldn't even go as far as saying, I would say that it's not even a consistent thing. Quite often, it's one of those emergency buttons that we push. But as we were reading throughout this chapter, we are exhorted in the discipline that helps us to grow in a greater dependence on God. So it's not that emergency button or wish list that we come to the throne with. I was encouraged by the reminder that prayer bends our will to His will. And we learned about submission and what that looks like. And prayer is the exercise of that very, do you see the building blocks that were, yes, Edie?
I just want to add, there are times when we do have to press that emergency button.
Absolutely.
And say, help, Lord, you know, give me wisdom in this particular circumstance. But that should not be the sole matter of all of our
Absolutely. Prayers. And that's where, I think that we're more prone I'm just putting that out there. I'm open for a little bit of dialogue there. Do you think that is a fair assessment of what prayer can often be in our lives? Is that when things are going good, do you find yourself faithfully praying to the Lord?
We can be self-sufficient.
You're not included, Bev, because I know you're... I know you. She's a... No, please share your... I would love to hear what... Go ahead.
I think we can become very self-sufficient, and then when we get to the end of ourselves... And then we can no longer handle it. Then we go. And
exactly. That's pull. My. Yes. Yes.
That was actually on my prayer request. Like, help me to be more dependent and, and for Him to be my first, that's the first thing that I run to in all things, not just when I reach the end of myself.
So when we say something like that, so let's just jump from that right now. And that when we say, help me to be more dependent, our heart's desire is I want to be more dependent on the Lord and not self-reliant, as you were just saying.
It's like prayer without ceasing.
Absolutely.
It's a continual conversation.
Right. So we want to grow in a greater dependence in that. How do we get there then? Because we can't just say, Lord, help me to be dependent, and then... Just think some magical thing's going to happen, right? Yeah. Right? Kathy?
One thing that just came to my mind on that is we're reading the book of Respectable Sin. I think that our self-sufficiency or the thought that we can be will die away if we really focus on the sins that we harbor.
Right.
Because those are, we let certain sins become respectable or, be okay in our lives. And maybe we think we're being self-sufficient in all the things we're doing in life. But if we actually really read the Bible and with that thought of where am I sinning, Lord? Where am I not in your will? Then that self-sufficiency idea kind of fades away.
That was my question that I was going to ask. Aligning my will with the will of God, how do we know what His will is for us.
In the earlier chapter on the discipline of submission, the point in there that hit me was our instinct is to please ourselves. So when we get into prayer, if we're going to bend to God's will, then our focus is going to be on pleasing God, not pleasing ourselves. Mm-hmm. So that is the key point. That's why we go to prayer. That's why we go to His Word. We like to do the default. Mm-hmm. Please ourselves. Mm-hmm. You know, kind of thing. And that's, to me, where the key is. Mm-hmm. The discipline that I need in my life is to please God. And if I do that, it eliminates some of those respectable sins, because we know it's not pleasing God. You know, mm-hmm.
She had a breakdown in the book, which I'm sure we've all heard of in our Christian years of, you know, meditate. There's all kinds of acronyms of how to go before the Lord in prayer. And again, like I said earlier, there, none of these are exhaustive, but I want to tap somebody, Bev, who has just a monster prayer warrior. Like she said, it just oozes out of her, and it's a wonderful thing. And I think it would be timely for you to just share what you have done over the years to I don't want to use the word achieve, but to cultivate that discipline in your life. What have been some obstacles that you have incurred over time and some ways that you have been able to navigate those obstacles? And what is it that just is the joy of your prayer life?
You're
going to
ask
them
one at a time.
Okay. So how did you cultivate?
So the first, the cultivate.
Yes.
Discipline of prayer. Personally.
Yeah, I was very convicted when I was pregnant with my second. When I went to a Bible study and the gal said, how could you not pray for your children? So it was kind of starting there. And then I was blessed to be Titus. I had an older woman. How can you not be praying for your husband? And then the other was going to a missions conference, and there was the sheet that kind of gave praying for missionaries and, you know, every day. Then it was the Lord leading me to Elizabeth Elliot books, where one was about her mother who prayed, as I had children, pray for a different child each day. And I think during those times that the Lord did that, I realized I am dependent on Him in being a wife and raising children and ministering in the church. And the Lord instilled that in me, I think, from the beginning after I was married. So I incorporated the things that I learned, where I have a prayer notebook that's not spiral. It's three-ring binder. Mm-hmm. Because people would move, people would pass and go to heaven, or sometimes I'd leave that in there, there in glory this day. But I have a different, you know, each day has someone different in, let's say, you know, starting with the family, I pray for Joe every day, a child every day, and then all of a sudden they get married. And I remember Elizabeth Elliot said that someone went to her mother and said, oh, they're married, you don't have to pray much for them. She said, are you kidding? It's doubled. And then they start having children, so I'm adding and adding each day. And then a neighbor, praying for a neighbor that I'd have opportunity each day, unsaved family member. And it's endurance. We've been praying for our family members for over 30 years, mm-hmm. and yeah. we keep praying. Mm-hmm. We're not going to lose heart. Then it's praying for a pastor a day, an elder a day, and a STEM guy and his family every day, because they're learning truth. I mean, our church, thank God, our church, we always say, thank you, Lord, for this church and the way you're doing. We need to pray. We need to pray for that and the foundation, that it continues and that the Lord will show us any sin, you know, there too. And we thank God our leadership is unity. We need to pray, continue. We can't rest and say, you know, even Dylan, when he shared, it was so sweet at the budget. Mm-hmm. How, you know, it's like, and we can just sit there and go, oh yeah, that's right. It's like, no, we need to keep praying. So that's kind of my system. That's what I do. I had one gal I was discipling, and I said, that's what I do. And she said, I can't do that. I'm like, find your way. And she found an app. So, you know, because she's more techie.
Sure.
And she found an app. So she's using an app. So.
So what have been some of the obstacles that have at times hindered you in your prayer life, and how have you navigated that?
Yeah, and
to continue to press on.
I have to say, when I started having children, because they wake up early, and I'm like, no, and I had to watch my heart. It's like, why are you up?
Yeah,
and he was two.
This is my time.
Yeah. I know. And he was two. Come on, the sun is up, you know. And I'm like, going, okay, okay, Lord, thanks for that reminder.
Right.
That he's important. So that was kind of when I was having children. If I have an early meeting, because it's not me, it's God and what He's put on my heart. I pray every single morning alone. Doesn't take long. You can go 20 minutes, you can go 30.
Right.
You can make it as long as you want. But it's just that time before God, just you alone. I mean, I wrote down also after reading the chapter, Jesus went alone. He's our model. He went alone. He was busy healing people. You know, he was a busy.
So when you were first starting out,
yeah,
in your prayer life, and being working to be consistent with that, did you, was there obstacles, or were there difficulties for you just getting consistent with those 20, 30 minutes? And how did you navigate that so that you weren't just stuck there? Did you pray out loud so that you could stay focused? Sometimes when we're praying quietly,
yeah,
you know, we start hearing, or mind goes in other places, because I'm discipling a young gal right now who's trying to just really cultivate disciplines in her life of reading God's word and praying, and even reading is just to stay focused. She just started reading it out loud because now it's, that's helping even more.
Mm-hmm.
And so I love when they when they find their own victories.
Amen.
You know, but what did you do that just kept you, you said, you know, children, but then you work through that. Maybe you get up 30 minutes earlier, or did you stay consistent with the same time? Do you do it first thing? Is that
every morning?
Okay. Yep.
Except Sunday morning,
Right.
I go.
It looks a little different.
Confession. No,
yeah.
I'm just kidding.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's just something that I don't know. I think it's just a conviction the Lord has put on my heart to have that time with Him, because there's so many times stuff is happening. Things are happening in our family. And I think it is those kind of times where you are feeling more dependent. But even when things are going fine, I still do.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of it is that I was talking to Linda Maselli yesterday. After I pray, because I've just, I guess, aligned my will with His, I'm peaceful. I mean, it's just something. Even if there's a storm going all around me, I'm peaceful because I spent that time.
So that's helpful right there, because you're seeing what it is producing.
Amen.
In you. And so there is immediate results, ladies, and all of us can camp and tap that situation and be like, okay, I'm all in if I'm going to see immediate gratification in this, you know, because we are very, as Kathy said, we're self-focused, you know, we're not really dealing with our own sin. And when we're not dealing with sin, we're not right with the Lord. And so our prayer life is hindered right from the beginning. So, you're seeing that the results of not an answered prayer, but a dependency that it's creating in you because of your relationship with the Lord as you're communing with Him. And so that's the attractive, if you will, the carrot that's dangling there waiting for you each time. It's like, why wouldn't I want that?
Amen.
Because you're seeing what the benefit is of it. I would assume that it really has built in you just a real peace when difficulties do come about, mm-hmm. because of your relationship to prayer in your life, because you have built that spiritual muscle of dependency on His sovereignty in your life.
Yeah, and throughout the day, if something happens, it's mm-hmm. like, that's right, I prayed, your will be done mm-hmm. on earth as it is in heaven. I prayed for your will. This is happening. I rest in you. Let's go.
Yeah, I told a gal that I was discipling last week, I said, why do we go to the throne and lay our concerns, requests, you know, praises before Him, and then pick up the luggage and walk away with it? You know, why are we doing that? You just said, because we have to tell ourselves it is His will, right?
Right.
And that's we have to pray. Believe it.
I pray the Lord's Prayer and I flesh it out. Mm-hmm. I don't repetitive it.
Sure.
Because I learned that in a Bible study long ago. And so I flesh it out from beginning to end. You know, your will be done. And I'll even share with them, this is what's going on today, Lord. You know that. But this is the plan of the day. But your will be done. Mm. And so when something shifts in the day, I get a weird phone call from a kid, or, you know, Joe said I have a flat tire. It's like, oh, okay, that was your will. Because I did that morning, mm-hmm. praise be to God. Mm-hmm. It's not me. It's what He's doing in mm-hmm. me as I pray. I mean, that's...
It deepens our trust in Him.
It does.
It deepens our trust in Him.
You have that alone time. And I'm not going to cry. Don't make me cry. With Him.
Yeah.
He's our Savior. He's our Father. Mm-hmm. He's our Spirit in us. Mm-hmm. How could I not? Now, I'm hoping I'm not coming across like, oh, spiritual Bev, you know,
no.
She goes along. Because there's times where I will. I mean, this morning, you know how you rely on your cars? And I have one where if I have my key there and I put my hand on that handle, bloop, it'll unlock.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it didn't unlock. Mm-hmm. And I started panicking. I did. So it's like, okay, Lord, what do you want me to do? Joe's still home. I'll go in there. And He's like, well, try it again with it closer. And I did. We have an older car, so it's going to do that. So I could have just panicked, gave up, and said, forget it. But I did have that welling of panic or anxiousness. I got to get to the study. What are we going to do? He's taking the car, you know. And my mind started going, floop, and it's
there's
like,
probably
no.
Only 7 people that are going to drive past my place that I can
I know. That's what Joe says. That's what Joe
says. Just say it.
But I mean, that you know, you can get that panic.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm
absolutely.
Not, I mean, I have to.
But it does build and deepen that trust.
Exactly,
In our relationship, mm-hmm. in our focus of that He is sovereign over all things. It's easy to say all the right things,
right.
But it's a whole other thing to exercise it. Edie?
I was going to say, and we act surprised
when
we get answers to prayer.
I told Edie that this morning. I woke up this morning and I was going over things in my head, and it was very early, and I didn't want to get up yet. And so I started praying, and I told her, I said, I don't know why I am so surprised at answered prayers so quickly, because it that frustrates me, you know, like, why am I surprised that He answered my prayers? Yes, Lucy.
And Bev also has some logistics, that something she's using that helps. But she's got a prayer journal.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And maybe she has a specific place that she meets with the Lord.
Yeah.
And those kinds of things can really help in your prayer life.
Yes.
Because you're not trying to reinvent the wheel. She already has a format there that she's using, and that really makes things easier.
Mm-hmm. I was, so how do we grow in the discipline of prayer? Just some of the takeaways. Obviously, we this morning we started with using scripture to guide us. That's a great way to start establishing. Maybe if you feel muddled in your prayer life, you just don't know where to go, your mind's kind of all over the place, and you need something to help anchor you. Edie has so graciously taken four scriptures and helped you to get right out of the blocks in that. So using scripture to guide us, the Psalms are great for that as well. One of my favorite Psalms that really gives for me that adoration and reverence of the power of God is Psalm 121. I lift my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let my foot be moved. He who keeps me will not stumble. I mean, there's just so much power just in those first few verses of that song and direction. That he is the creator. And so using scripture, establishing intentional prayer habits, structure, like Lucy was just saying, having that structure, having that intentional, like same time, same place, you know. One person said years ago, I have a date with God, you know, that he's waiting there for me, over in that corner. And over and over, but just establishing intentional prayer habits, and that structure, like you were saying, it keeps you structured, it keeps you focused. I know what Tuesday is going to look like because I turn to that page, and this is what I'm praying for on Tuesdays, and then. Persevering, even when prayer feels difficult, it feels dry or muddled or lumpy, you know, whatever you want to use there. But make your prayers frequent and fervent. That's what Martin Luther said, and I love that. Make them frequent and fervent. And so some of that helps too. One of the ladies that I disciple is using right now the Valley of Vision, and she's praying that out loud right now. And I think that's wonderful. You know, like I said, Psalms is another one. You can just pray that out loud, and you'll find yourself putting in things or recognizing when you're praying it out loud. Wow, I didn't even realize that about that psalm, about God. And my utmost for his highest is another one that can be a helpful tool. Just find something other than the excuse of, you know, I don't know how to, or I don't have time to, making it a priority to find prayer. Yes.
One of the things, I've had many decades to work on this. So, you know, I found that one of my best ways to stay focused and stay on track is with a pen and paper and writing out my prayers. I'll have my prayer list, but then I will write out the prayers, but the prayers will be scripture. Because that keeps me from getting in the same rut, praying the same thing over and over again. And it's praying scriptures for people. Be it some of the ones Edie gave us, the Psalms, whatever it is, what God brings to mind at that time. And one time one of my sons, saw what I was writing. And I usually never leave it out. And he goes, "Are you praying the Bible for me?" And I went, "Absolutely I am." And he goes, "Oh." Now, praise God, they both follow God, so it's all good. But yeah, that's how one way I've stayed on track is by just using God's word.
Yeah, absolutely.
And a lot of times I'll put in the margin like somebody's name, mm-hmm. or a circumstance, or a country, if I'm praying for my missions and stuff.
Also, too, when you have structure like that, ladies, and you can go back and, like Nikki was saying, you know, she wrote things in her Bible or your prayer journal or notebook or whatever it is, you can go back and date mm-hmm. things, you know, revisit. Oh, I mm-hmm. it's not that you're not praying for that person anymore, but you're not praying for that situation right. anymore yeah. because you're seeing the answer to his prayer. And sometimes the answer isn't anything like you expected it to be.
Yeah.
But that, again, is deepening that root of our greater dependency.
But if we're praying God's will,
yeah,
then it is the answer that God wants.
Well, absolutely. But you're learning that.
Right.
Right? Because we go sometimes with our own petitions of what we think is best and right, and the Lord is teaching us. Sometimes it's even way better than we could imagine, and sometimes it's nothing like we could imagine. Kathy, first, yes, she's been patiently waiting.
Yes, she has.
Maybe close to 40 years ago, I ran into Stormy. I don't even know how to say her last name, and she's Prayer, the Power of the Praying Wife, and Mom and Grandparent, and she's got a whole slew of books. Well, as a young mom, there was a lot of chaos. And so I copied her book, The Power of the Praying Mother. I copied it 3 times on an old typewriter. And I inserted each one of my kids in one book was just for Nicole. I changed all the, what is that, English word, pronouns or whatever. So it was her.
That's me.
And it was, every page was for something, whether for her future spouse, whether it was for powers and principalities, whatever. And I just pray those full books of prayers for my kids. And then when they got married, they all received that. And I encouraged them to do that for their own children. But that kept me on track as well. And it gave me time to both cry and praise. And because I didn't have to sit and keep a solid thought. And so that helped. And then the other thing that I would do is I had a pillow. And when things were awful, I would just say, you'll find me on my pillow. So my kids knew that that's where I was going to pray, and don't disturb me. And I put a whole entire room of away just for my prayer time. So they knew that they could count on that. And then recently, like you said, Bev, I've taken and I've expanded on the Our Father, the Lord's Prayer. And on each section of the Lord's Prayer, I have oodles and oodles of fill in the blanks on it. You know, your will be done. Well, what is that? Your will for our nation, your will for my family, your will. And so I'm able to pray that. But the thing is, I put it on my dresser right next to, really close to my bed. And I cannot make my bed without seeing that prayer. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes I go to make my bed and I look at the prayer and I'm like, mm-hmm. I want to get started my day. But it immediately brings me to my knees. Mm-hmm. And to be sure that you set to start your day in prayer and have that consistency has just been a good thing.
That's great.
So just to wrap up this time, not that I want to cut off anybody in that, but I do want to touch on the topic of worship, and so we can circle back if there's any more on that. I just wanted to encourage us on the area of continual prayer. She used the illustration of Susanna Wesley, who I've heard this illustration more times than I can count, and I still am it just encouraged by her faithfulness that Susanna Wesley, mother of 19 children, including theologian Charles Wesley and hymn writer John Wesley, used to enjoy the Lord's presence right in the middle of her noisy kitchen, just sitting down and throwing her apron over her head. She created a quiet space, however small, to be with the Lord. And I guarantee you that all of her kids knew exactly what she was doing, and they didn't bother her for those moments that she was covered by her apron and taking her own personal time out to be with the Lord. Her son wrote of the prayerful person, "His heart is ever lifted up to God at all times and in all places." So it doesn't matter whether you're in a busy kitchen full of crying children, or, you know, or it's that quiet space, or it's on the road. You don't have to close your eyes. You can talk to God anytime, anywhere. But it's about being consistent, continual, frequent, and fervent. And so I want us to be encouraged by that, but I also don't want us to walk away from here today. If our prayer life is something that needs to be restructured, if it's something that needs to be addressed, that we walk away and we just put our Bible back on the shelf of good intentions, but that we take it and we open it and we begin to walk obediently in it. So find a friend that can help you, find a resource that can encourage you, but start today to be consistent and to be diligent in the act of obedience of your prayer life with God. So the second part of our book, that second chapter that we read, chapter 5, was about worship. And in this chapter of worship, I'm just going to read Psalm. Worship is a reverent response to God. And Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, "Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect." So we've seen in this reading that there is corporate worship, which we're all aware of what that is, the gathering of fellow believers, our brothers and sisters in Christ. But there is more to worship than just gathering together on Sundays. It encompasses all of our life as Christians. It is expressed through our obedience to His Word, our gratitude in how we live out the truth of His Word. It's rooted in truth, expressed inwardly and outwardly. This is worship that we're being reminded of. It's a reverent response to God. Now, not to say that corporate worship isn't important. We are commanded not to forsake it. We find that in Hebrews 10:25, that we are to not forsake the assembly. So we gather together with the body of Christ. But my question is to us today, so why do we worship? And that's the question that we're going to dialogue on right now for a little bit. That it's not just a Sunday morning thing, but it's an attitude of the heart. So why do we worship?
Because He is God, and I am not. And He is the one and the only one that we need to worship and bow down to.
There's the story of when Abraham had to go and offer Isaac when he was going up the mountain. And he had to sacrifice Isaac, and then he said, that he was going up to worship. And the way I understood it, we did a little Bible study of that word, worship means obedience.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of the essence.
It's an act of obedience. Yeah, sure. If it's expressed inwardly and outwardly, it's a matter of our heart, right? And so if our heart is right with God, and we say, I want to give all glory to God in what I do, in word and deed, that's the act, the outward act of my my obedience. It's ultimate worship because of what he is doing in my life, because of what I am recognizing I need to do in my life as a Christian, correct? And where do I find that? Through his word. And also, as I said earlier, we're learning in this book that we've got building blocks here, right? Ladies, we just were in prayer. And if we are communing with God and we are confessing our sins, we are meditating on his word, we are adoration, we're giving praise and reverence to who God is, then we are going to, I just lost my train of thought here, we are going to walk in outwardly in obedience, in worship to the holy God that we stand before, pray to. I'm losing my words here. So somebody take it.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
Some of you know, I'm leaving tomorrow to go to India for a mission trip. But in preparation, I've been doing a lot of study of other world religions, Hindus, Buddhists, Muslims. And this is very timely, because what makes our worship different than their worship?
The God who you worship. Absolutely. You know. That's right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so that's why it's like, okay, God, you knew I needed to review all this before I go, because mm-hmm. it's like, yes, we worship the one true God.
So can you worship God with she talks about the preparation for Sunday morning, mm-hmm. and we always said in our house, Sunday begins on Saturday, mm-hmm. and so we are setting ourselves up for success, especially when you have, you know, little kids and stuff. We don't have little kids in the house. Sometimes, you know, grandchildren, but we still have that mindset of not being out late. If there's things that I need to, there's just mental preparation for being in worship with the body of Christ. And so I was thinking about this. I'm just going to take a little sidetrack for a moment on this. We live in a day and age where, we do drive through Christianity in many ways. You know, it's like, well, I can get that, on tape, or I can download that and listen to it later. Or, you know what? Today I just feel like I'm gonna clock in on live stream, you know? And so these are benefits that we have that are wonderful. Don't get me wrong, that if you can't be somewhere or you want to hear the sermon again, we have those abilities to be able to listen to it again. And or if we're sick and we have the ability to be able to check in, but that convenience has superseded our preferences or our laziness, our discipline, and worship is not about me. And worship is about how, first of all, it's about, you know, the Lord and being, but it's an outward, inward and outward expression of my faith. And I don't know who and what the way the Lord is going to use me on a Sunday morning, and that I, or you in my life. And so not being there because I choose not to be there, not because I can't be there, you know, and I'm not trying to be, you know, legalistic about checking the boxes. We should be eagerly awaiting for the next opportunity to be with the body of Christ. Yes, please.
You were saying that, it kind of reminded me a lot of the things that my worship leader constantly have kept repeating to our worship team, is that worship is just you living out how much
you love the Lord.
The word.
Yep.
If you believe that the word says that fellowship with the believers is important, and you believe that is true, it's going to show up mm-hmm. in your life through striving to be there with the people in fellowship. Because if you don't truly believe it, you will click on it.
Absolutely.
Same thing. He would always tell us, the way you are singing on the stage, he's like, I always see how much you believe the words mm-hmm. that you are singing. Mm-hmm. If I see that you're singing about God's joy or the joy of Christ in your life, and you're facial expression expresses no joy, he's like, at that moment right now, you're truly not believing. And he's like, at home when you're worshiping, usually you allow yourself to feel those emotions. And I'm not saying that people need to be jumping on the stage. It's totally not that what I'm talking about. Like he meant, but he's like, it's really easy to, he says, it's really easy to detect what a person is really feeling at that moment. He could be really not feeling it at that moment, or going through some trial, not feeling joyful as he's singing a song of joy.
Sure.
But he says, but it does live out, you live out what you truly believe, what is truly true in your heart right now. And I feel like worship is something you can't fake.
Right.
People could try, but if it's not important, and if that truth hasn't really hit you yet, you will not be able to live out a certain act as a worship, because everything is an act of worship.
Everything.
Once it goes through our heart, the way we serve our kids is an act of worship.
Absolutely.
Whereas if I'm serving them in a very bitter way, this is the truth that hasn't really gone through my heart, and there's no way. We only worship as far as we know God.
Exactly. Thank you for taking my thoughts and putting them in words. Yes, exactly. That's the bottom line. You know, you said at the beginning that your worship pastor, you know, and I think sometimes we pigeonhole worship into that it's singing and that's the form of worship. But Karina hit the nail on the head, and that is that worship is in everything we do, and it is an act of our knowledge, our love, our understanding, knowledge. It is feet on our heart. And so carrying that out, whether you're washing the dishes, doing laundry, or whatever it is, an act of worship in that I'm at my again, my words are leaving me, but this has been my life the last 2 weeks. So thank you, Karina, for that.
One of the things that you hit the nail on the head is that one of the big differences is we can worship anytime, anywhere. Mm-hmm. We don't have to go to a statue or a place in order to worship.
Right.
We want to come and worship together corporately.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of the culmination, should be the culmination of our worship all week. Is now I get to worship with other believers.
It's the climax of it.
I love worshiping with other believers in other countries that are believers. Mm-hmm. Because their joy, their openness, even though they might be underground, of being able to worship is moving.
Mm-hmm.
It's just very emotional and touching.
It's like Lucy said that it is an act of obedience. Of obedience to what? Obedience to God's word.
Mm-hmm.
Like my relationship with my husband and the way I interact with him will either be an act of worship or disobedience.
Mm-hmm.
And my obedience through my relationship, it's also worship. Mm-hmm. I'm worshiping God and I'm praising him every time I am in tune with my husband. But if I'm not, and I'm choosing disobedience because I don't believe, like in certain ways I should obey my husband.
And if we have the opportunity to worship taken away from us because of persecution or whatever, what would we do? Would it change our lives? I hope so.
Absolutely.
But many people go, I just go on with everything else. And it's like, it should be so ingrained in us on a daily basis, minute by minute basis.
And as a kid, we'd already walk home. I didn't get anything out of it. I'm not going.
Yeah.
And my mom would always say, it's not what you get, it's what you give. Give me the whole self.
To the Lord.
Yeah.
Give the worship to the Lord. And I think it's also submission.
Mm-hmm.
And just gives part of that whole thing that she has through the book. We're submitting ourselves in humble adoration. Mark had a message on the first of February that struck me about the submission of the 24 elders and how they worship the Lord in that way. And
it's continual.
Yeah.
Can I say something too?
Sure.
I think a lot of what we're saying is tied in with our memory verse for today.
Yeah.
Which is, give me understanding that I may observe your law. You won't have that understanding unless you're in the Word.
Mm-hmm.
And keep it with all my heart, which is the submission. So, how do you know how to submit to your husband if you don't know in what way it is?
Mm-hmm.
And so that first ties it all together.
Mm. There, of course, I can't find it, but maybe one of you ladies can find it. That illustration in here about all the pianos being tuned. I thought that was a great illustration of... Okay, that's what I thought too, but I'm not...
Has it ever occurred to you that 100 pianos all tuned to the same chord are automatically tuned to each other? They are of one accord by being tuned not to each other, but to one standard to which each one must individually bow. So 100 worshipers met together, each one looking away to Christ, are in heart nearer to each other than they could possibly be, were they to become unity conscious and turn their eyes away from God.
Mm. Such a great illustration of what the body of Christ looks like when it is focused on the right thing. And that is, that... Our life is focused on Christ and our unity in Him, that common bond that we all share. I can't even see right now. Okay. Edie, you want to finish us up here? I'm having a moment right now, so...
Do you mean prayer or do you mean...
Is there anything else that anybody wanted to add on prayer or worship questions for the gospel, discipline, submission, prayer, worship? Any aha moments that you had? Okay. All right. Next, there is a handout for you for just more application of this chapter, and we will be moving into chapter 6 and 7, which really, just so you're aware, we're going to be now getting into the real disciplines. We've been talking about, not that prayer isn't a discipline, but we've been talking about our submission is also to an understanding of what biblical submission is, but now we're going to be getting into the meat of disciplining our mind, the discipline of contentment, which is the discipline of our mind, what we allow in and what we dwell on. And we're going to start continuing to add to the foundation and picking away at some of maybe the scabs that are there that we've allowed to be a part of maybe our thinking. And so I'm excited for where we're going in these next chapters. I guess I'll ask this last question. What has been your takeaway so far in the reading of this book and the handout part of it, just in general, where we're at so far these last 4 weeks that we've met?
I like your handouts. Yeah.
They're helpful?
Very.
Okay, mm-hmm. Good.
I just want to confess that, like, I had this book before, and I kind of started at the beginning and kind of put it away because, you know, those couple chapters that we just did seemed very kind of foundational just to, like, the Christian mm-hmm. life, and mm-hmm. I kind of was looking for something that was really going to put feet on all mm-hmm. those topics, mm-hmm. you know, a little more, and so I'm very much looking forward to going forward because mm-hmm. I think that's exactly mm-hmm. what's happening.
Yeah.
You know, the way this book is structured. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I guess I kind of, not that these chapters weren't great reads and things mm-hmm. to focus on, but when I was looking at this, I was looking for more of that. Like, how do I put this into practice? Mm-hmm. How can I get the right things in my mind?
And you got to start out with the fundamentals before yeah, you can jump
right,
it, right?
Right?
You know, but sometimes we tell, oh, thank you for that, Kathy, because sometimes we tell ourselves, well, I know that, you know, and we do know that, and we're not necessarily, maybe we're being prideful, but maybe we're just being honest, like, okay, you know, I feel like that's pretty elementary. Sometimes we need to just start from the beginning again, you know, and refresh our mind why we know what we know, and so that we're building that foundation, like I said, so that now here we go and we have these reminders, and that's the reminders. It's not necessarily that you went into this book and you needed to hear the gospel, but maybe you needed to be reminded of, you know, just some basic elementary things about the gospel, or maybe it wasn't even that chapter for you, but maybe it was, you know, I never really thought about submission and aligning my will, you know, that I've actually been at the front of it all, and my dependency is the emergency button instead of. So thank you for sharing that, Kathy. I appreciate that. Yeah.
My takeaway from these last 4 weeks is the sweet spirit of all the ladies mm. here, and how we kind of all have the same issues with trying to be disciplined on something, mm-hmm. and how encouraging everyone is to everyone. It's just been very sweet. Mm-hmm. We're not in this alone.
Absolutely, absolutely. It's very encouraging, isn't it? Just to know that, you know, sometimes it's not like we have four flat tires, but sometimes we have a flat tire, you know, and we just need a little bit of help getting that tire back on and getting down the road again. And that's the encouragement that we get. I've said this so many times, and I know each of you have heard me say this before, but there isn't a time in my Christian life when I have come away from a Bible study or corporate worship or fellowship time with the body of Christ that I have said, I wish I could get those 2 hours back. Now, it's been hard to get out the door sometimes, and I've grumbled about, like, oh, man, you know, I'm really tired, and I really don't want to meet with this person, or I don't want to go to this thing tonight, or whatever it was. But I have never walked away from that time afterwards. In fact, I walked away with my head down because I was embarrassed of my heart, but I've never walked away saying, you know, I wish I could get those 2 hours back. I've been better than I was before I went to whatever it was. So that's what my takeaway from just being with my brothers and sisters in Christ, you know, being, whether it's corporate worship or a fellowship group or whatever it is, has just been an absolute delight to be able to be a part of that. So thank you. Thank you, ladies, for your willingness to be here and just encourage one another. That was my point I was trying to get to at one point, is that I never know how the Lord is going to use you in my life at any given moment. But you not being there, I can't know. Mm-hmm. So, Edie?
Hey, Valerie, just thank you so much for the time that you've given us to be here today. We thank you for the sweet spirit of fellowship that we experienced during the week and earlier in the week. And we thank you that Rebecca is feeling better today after so many days of illness, and yet we know that strength is from you. And so we thank you for that. We thank you for the way that you are impacting our lives and drawing us to yourself and helping us to be more consistent in our prayer life, in our worship, in our Bible reading, in our devotion to you. And it's not of us, it's of you,